Good morning. Just take a deep breath. Doesn't it feel good to breathe in this air, this sanctuary air? Thank you for coming this morning. You probably noticed there's a few things different as we begin. Hopefully, you read the documents I put out on the website just about what to expect when you come. We're going to be doing this for a little bit. I don't know when we're going to change things around. I'll let you know when things will be different. But right now, as you can see, we're kind of spacing out every other pew. And if you can just not rip any of the tape, I mean, it's just painter's tape. So just sit where the tape is not. We appreciate that. Also, we're not going to be handing out any bulletins or anything like that. We're not going to be passing the offering. When you were walking in here, you may have seen a box that says offering on it. That box is for your offering. So if you didn't see that when you came in and you brought an envelope, a check, cash, whatever, as you exit, you can put it in that box. Or as we've been talking about, we do have online giving. So you can actually go to the website and do online giving if you'd like to. You can set up a one-time payment, recurring payment, whatever. The only thing is you can't use a credit card. We went through Dave Ramsey's financial piece, and he would be very mad at us if we had credit cards. So it goes directly to a bank account, and that's how you give. You can set that up there or use that offering box. Newly constructed, Chuck built that for us. Chuck, raise your hand. Now, he's super busy right now, but ultimately, I think he'll be a custom woodworker. So if you like that box, maybe you can give him some business at some point. But that is as you leave today, that if you didn't put it in there, that's what that's for, because we're trying to prevent as much touching as possible. When we leave the sanctuary also, we're going to leave from the back of the sanctuary to the front. So either Vince or Scott will kind of let you know when it's your turn. We're just going to exit from the back to the front. We're trying not to congregate in our tiny little lobby, so you can talk as long as you want. Just do it out in our spacious, luxurious parking lot. You can talk and hang out and do whatever. Just do it out in the parking lot. As long as it's not illegal, you can stay out there, do whatever you want, and talk. We just want to try and keep things moving through for right now. So that's how that's going to look. I never realized how difficult it would be to hold a church service in a church building. But for the last 2 weeks, it's been a lot of work just to make this happen. As of Thursday, we were going to do some singing together with our wonderful worship team. But Kyle's wife was sick, and they read our stuff and said, if you're feeling sick, maybe you want to worship at home. So that's what they're doing. So as of Thursday, we were singing. As of Thursday night, we cannot sing. Kyle is not here. We are dependent upon that guitar, but his wife was sick, so he's not here. I was getting text messages at 6 a.m. this morning about somebody else that I was figuring being here that couldn't be here. And so I had to reconfigure some of that kind of stuff. But this has been difficult getting a church service in a church building. I never realized I'd have to do this. The one good thing I can say about all this is before COVID-19, you know how hard it was to get people to come to church? No one said, Ted, hey, I'll be in church next Sunday. It was always me trying to get people to come back to church. Then I was getting phone calls, Ted, when are we having church? Open the building up. That was new for me. I never really experienced that. So I'm glad. That was nice to hear. We want to come back into that building. So we did it. We're back in this building. Took a lot of work from a lot of different people. I appreciate all their help to do that. And there's been a lot happening. As I said, we were going to sing. We're going to plan on singing next Sunday. But this Sunday, we're not going to be doing any singing. So the other thing that is we're going to keep doing is we're going to keep live streaming my message if, as you can tell, people decided to stay home today. And maybe one Sunday you'll do that, maybe for different reasons, but you stay home. We are going to still live stream this service at 10:30. So ultimately, our hope is to be able to live stream both services, the entire service. That's what we're trying to be able to do. As of now, we're only prepared to do my message like we've been doing throughout the COVID-19 stuff that was happening. So 10:30, we'll still be doing that. If you can't be here on a Sunday, we're still going to live stream that message, and ultimately we'll get to the place where we can actually live stream the entire service. The reason we can't do it right now, or we're not, is because we don't know what it's going to sound like when people start singing and instruments start getting played through that live stream. We need to be able to manage all that, put all that together before we actually send that over worldwide. And people are listening to that. And I don't want to if you're singing up here, maybe they'll catch my mic, and who knows what you're going to hear. So we just need to make sure that's all in place before we actually begin doing that. But ultimately, that's what we're going to do. But for now, we'll just be doing a live stream of this service. So this morning, before we connect and go live, I do want to just let you know that my message this morning is basically simply kind of praising God for our ability to return. A lot is different. A lot has been different for a while now, and we're all still not sure exactly when it's going to return to whatever normal used to be. It may never. We just don't know. Two words that maybe you've heard me say. I know I said it March 15th, the last time we were physically in this building, but I've been saying it online. If you're following us on Facebook, that's the best place to stay up to date on what's going on. I've been using two words often. One is flexible. We need to be flexible. Obviously, just coming here today, you had to be a little bit flexible, because maybe you're not sitting in the seat you normally sit in. This morning, they had to sit. Everybody was sitting on this side, so we just had to clean this side. So some people from 1971 onwards were sitting on this side, and they were wandering around aimlessly. They didn't even know there was another side of the church. So Vince kindly showed them a seat, and they got to sit down. But flexibility is going to be important for the foreseeable future, just being flexible in how we're trying to do things. It was important to me to get back together. I think what we're doing right now, and I'll talk about this in the message, is an important part of being the church. You know, there's a lot of places in our world that, regardless of COVID-19, doing this is illegal and dangerous. And yet they still see the value in gathering together physically in one location to be together as the body of Christ. And so I think there's something to say about that, and I'll say that in the sermon, that this is an important part of who we are as God's people and what we do as God's people. So I was excited to come back together. It's been a long 3.5 months being by myself. Steve was here for a little bit of the last couple of Sundays, but nothing can replace being together physically in one place as God's people, as the body of Christ. And so we're gonna focus on that this morning for our message, but I want to thank you for coming back and appreciate you being here. The other word that I used was grace. We need to make sure we show one, it's in our name. We need to make sure we show one another grace. We're all at different places in terms of how we're dealing with COVID-19 and family stuff, friends, work. A lot has been turned upside down. And so one of the things we want to do is be able to show one another grace. If nothing else, as followers of Jesus, the people in our world ought to be able to see us displaying a different kind of character and living in a different kind of way as Jesus followers. And so there's a lot of angry people out there right now. There's a lot of stuff going on in our current cultural moment that I think showing one another grace is an important part, and we ought to be able to do that as brothers and sisters of Grace Church. Whether or not you're wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, if you're going outside and doing certain things, you're doing the social distance, if you agree with the government or disagree with the government, there's lots of reasons why we could disagree. But let's just be able to show each other grace as we do that, because we're brothers and sisters. We are united by what Jesus has done for us, and we want to show the world that that's who we are. It's not in name only, but this is a part of our life and who we are. So this morning, as our live streaming friends join us, I don't have a whole lot of announcements as we begin. I'll do things as we've been doing the last 3.5 months. If you've been joining us on our live stream, whether Facebook or YouTube, just beginning with some prayer, some announcements, some prayer, then getting into the message. And so that's what we'll do here this morning. Hopefully everybody was able to get, if you registered for VBS, to get your bag and do that. I mean, you didn't have to do it last week. That's when our traditional VBS was going to be. But you didn't have to do it then. You can just do it whenever you want. That's the beauty of the virtual VBS. So hopefully you got that. One of the things a part of Vacation Bible School is a mission moment. And this year we were focusing on the EC Church of Latin America. Now this is something that we do throughout all EC churches in the USA. Every year that people have Vacation Bible School, an offering is taken at their VBS all over the U.S., and then we use that to support something going on in one of our international churches. So this year was Latin America. They're building a what I've been calling a training center, where they're going to have people come to get trained for, as missionaries and pastors and youth workers, child evangelism type stuff, and retreat centers for pastors to come. And we're going to help refurbish a property and building they already have. And so the money that we raise is going to be able to go and do that. Now, you don't have to have done the VBS to give to that. If you go to our website, at on our church website, there is an option to donate to that VBS project. So if you want to do that, please go ahead and do that. I did create 3 mission moments. They're at our Facebook or at our YouTube channel that you can watch. It just gives us some information about the EC Church of Latin America. And I really made them for all the churches in the U.S. that are going to be doing something, so they have some information about the EC Church of Latin America. So you can still do that. That is still up there. We're going to keep that up there all summer. If you want to be able to watch those videos at some point or give to the EC Church of Latin America, we would appreciate that. So as I said, going forward, for the folks who are at home watching this, hi. There are some people here. I'm not talking to myself this Sunday. There are some people here sitting here. And if you're at home watching, 10:30 is going to be the time to start tuning in. And if you're used to our services here at Grace Church, 10:30-ish is probably when you want to tune in and actually see what's going on. So other than that, we don't really have too much going on. There is something that we were advertising before that we stopped it, but it is going to happen. The Jewel Jog. Jewel Women's Center is the crisis pregnancy center in our town in Schuylkill Haven. And we usually are a part of their Jewel Jog. It's a 5K that they do. And that's going to be July 25th. July 25th, it was on there. Lynn Brignoler is our rep for Jewel Women's Center. If you want to get connected, you can talk to her. But that is going to be happening as well. And as I said, right now, for the summer, we'll be in this location. We turned all the fans on, and we're trying to get some air moving in here. So if you're at home in your AC, good for you. We're here sweating. That's how bad we wanted to get here, was come here and sweat and listen to Ted. So we will be in here all summer, and we'll have the 2 service times, 8:30 and 10:15 is the start time, and 10:30-ish will be the live stream. So, again, thanks for being here this morning, and I'll have some more to say of why I think it's super important that we can do this with our psalm. But before we do that, let's just open our gathering with a word of prayer. Lord, we're thankful that we get to be here together. God, thankful for your goodness, your faithfulness to us through this current moment in our lives, in our world, really. There's many people throughout this world that have been affected by this. We aren't alone here in Pennsylvania or the United States, but all over this world. God, I'm thankful for the fact that we were able, and there's a whole team of people making this happen, but that we've been able to start our services in person again. Thankful for the folks who have come. Thankful for the folks who continue to tune in at home and be with us virtually as Grace Church family. And God, I know that everybody came with needs on their heart. I know maybe there's some people who are burdened. Maybe there's some issues going on in their families, with their friends, at their job. Maybe they've lost their job. Maybe this pandemic has really put them in a tight spot financially. God, I pray that after coming here together, we would just be refreshed by your Spirit to know that we're not alone in our walk. We're not alone in this moment in our life. And not only are we not alone because your Spirit is with us, but we're not alone because this morning we can be reminded as we gather as a church family that there's other people in our lives that care about us, that want to help, that want to help shoulder that burden that we might have. So, Lord, even as I'm sharing these needs this morning, you can hear the silent prayers of everybody in this room. God, I do want to just lift up specifically Alan Emmerich. We've been praying for him. We've sent him out over the prayer circle because he's been having a lot of issues, and now he's having some heart complications, and he's at Hershey, and of course, being in any medical facility is just difficult for family members to even just go and visit. And so I pray for Alan and Sally, Lord. I just lift them up to you and ask that you'd be with them. God, I pray for Greg's friend, Al, who lives in South Carolina, who has tested positive. I pray that his symptoms would be minimal. I pray for a full recovery. I pray that his family wouldn't get infected with COVID as a result of his test, Lord. And I just pray that you would be with that family, Al Schweigert. Lord, we just continue to ask that as we gather here, as we live our lives, Lord, that you would speak into our hearts, speak into our minds, shape and form us into the people you want us to be. God, I pray that as we open up your word and we're reminded of just a couple of important truths about us, our lives, why we gather, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would, in a supernatural way, fill us again. Maybe we've come and we're just depleted. We feel empty. We feel like our tank is dry. I pray, Lord, that you would fill us up again. And Lord, as we open up your word, I pray your Holy Spirit would lead us to the truth and that you would help us to be more like Jesus in all that we say and do. We pray in his name. Amen. We're not live. Do you need my help? They're not seeing anything. There should be a picture there. It's on what? So one of the difficulties, this is just to show you how difficult coming back here was. Steve is not here this morning, who would be taking care of all this. So I learned it yesterday. We're showing on, and it's not displaying in there. Sure. Ooh. There we go. All right. We did it. So that was my crash course on live streaming last night. So we're not going to retake this. I'm not going to just say whatever I just said before. We're actually recording this whole thing. So all of what I just said has been recorded. If you're watching at home now, you're going to have to go back to the recording because I'm not going to say everything I just said. You've heard it all before. And if you're not sure, just go to Facebook or YouTube and see it later today. But we are going to begin, after all that, I need some coffee. We are going to begin with Psalm 103. Oh, thank you. I left my clicker back there. We're still trying to develop the technology where I can advance the slides with my mind. We're not there yet, but I have Steve working on that, and I'll let you know when that's possible. But as of now, I got to use this little doohickey right here. So as I said, this has been a lot of work. Praising God for our return, that is what I'm doing. That's why I'm reading Psalm 103 for you today. I'm not sure how much time I spent doing that, you know, the last, for sure, 2 weeks, just because of trying to get back together, that I needed to be reminded of some of these basic truths about why it's important that we gather as God's people. Now, we've done that virtually for the last 3.5 months. We weren't doing it at all as of March 15th. That was the last Sunday that we were all together in this place. And that week, I figured out, how do we get this on live streaming? And we did it. We were live streaming. So we've been doing that. But that does not replace this. And for me, it never will. And honestly, I don't think it's ever supposed to. I do hope that there are people that maybe don't know Jesus that have tuned into a live stream sometime during this whole pandemic, not just here at Grace Church, but all over the world. There were churches who never live streamed, who never put their stuff out for the broader public. They're doing it now. And part of, I think, Facebook's issue was everybody that was a pastor was live streaming on Facebook on Sundays. And it was just being overwhelmed with the message of Jesus. I think that's great. And I think that's important, and that's one of the reasons we want to keep live streaming, because you just never know who might tune in to hear the Word of God. But that will never replace exactly what we're doing now. And part of the reason I believe, and I believe that's true, is because, as I said, there are places in this world where doing just this is illegal, and yet they still do it. They will meet in somebody's house, in somebody's basement, deep into the woods, whatever they have to do just to be together. And so there's something important, something unique about us doing that as God's people. And I think Psalm 103 helps us to be reminded of that. And so that's what I wanted to do this morning, is just praise God for our return. I am praising God that we are doing this right now. And there's some things in here that I need to be reminded of, and I think that we just as a church need to be reminded of as well. And especially, I think, in our cultural moment right now. I think we've all probably had this conversation, and we all know this will be one of those things that you look back on and you know where you were. I know exactly where I was when all the schools shut down and everything started closing. And I know how it felt when I got home that night. I know how it felt the last Sunday we were here. And you probably do too. And some of our smaller kids who are just, you know, going with the flow like kids do, they're going to be learning about this. This is what happened in our worldwide moment in 2020. And if that wasn't enough, now when you turn on the television, you see cities burning, you see stores looted, you know people that, I know some people that have lost jobs because of it, because their buildings burned to the ground. People have been killed, brutalized. We are in a difficult cultural moment. And so I hope this psalm helps us to be able to be reminded of how we weather these moments, how we weather these storms that are thrown at us. And next Sunday, I'm going to have a message that, for me, is trying to speak to the cultural moment we're in as well, and do it in a biblical way. And so as we come together next Sunday as our July 4th, it's going to be July 5th, but we'll have celebrated our July 4th holiday. Next Sunday's message will be trying to address what I see happening in our cultural moment. But this Sunday is about how we live in the moment that we're living in as followers of Jesus. How do we weather these storms? And again, why is it important that we're able to gather together as we do this? So Psalm 103, there are no Bibles in your pews. There are no hymnals in your pews. We just took all of them out so that you weren't touching and doing all that, so we didn't have to clean every single one of those things. So if you haven't been in the habit of bringing your own Bible, you may want to start doing that for the foreseeable future. They'll probably at some point be put back in there, but right now, you're going to have to bring, I think Vince said BYOB, bring your own Bible. Okay? That It's different when you walk out those doors, but when you walk in here, BYOB means bring your own Bible, okay? If you didn't do that, I'm not going to put the words on the screen. I just want you to listen. You can close your eyes if it's safe to do that. Adam, I'm not sure if you should close your eyes. I saw you falling asleep already. But if you want to do that, you can close your eyes and just let the words soak in. And if you're at home and you want to do that, I can't see you. And if you're in that lounge chair, maybe you don't want to do that. But you can just close your eyes and let these words soak in to your mind. Because I think this is what David is. David, who wrote this psalm, he wrote it for people gathered like we are gathered here. They would have sang this. I'm just going to read it. I'm going to spare you that painful moment of me singing. I'm just going to read it for you. But you can close your eyes and just let it sink in, because David is going to point out two very important things in this psalm. And those two things are, one, and we'll go in depth with this, one, what we're doing right now. It's important for us to praise the Lord, my soul. That's what verse 1 says. Praise the Lord, my soul. It's important for us to praise God. And that's why we're here. And every Sunday, we do different things every Sunday. Sometimes we have special guests who speak. Sometimes we'll do an Awana Sunday. We've done a graduation Sunday. We've done lots of different things. But the whole point of Sunday is to do exactly what David says in that verse, praise the Lord. You decided today to get up and come to this building to do that. And your very act of doing that, not even speaking anything out, your very act of doing that is praising the Lord. And today you decided to do that with still some risk. You know, we're not rid of COVID-19. You took some risk by coming. We tried to minimize that as best as we can. We'll never get rid of all the risk that exists. I mean, you could have walked out your door and fell over today. We'll never get rid of risk, but you assume some of that by simply getting up and coming here. But the whole point of you doing that was to praise the Lord. And the other piece that David reminds us of in this is that we desperately need God in our lives. We live in a broken, messed up world. And all you got to do is turn on the news or listen to a news report to be reminded of that. And we've experienced that in some way, this pandemic, global pandemic that nobody was prepared for. David reminds us, and we gather together, the reason you're here is because of God. I hope that's the reason you're here. There's lots of people doing lots of stuff today, but we are together because we believe being reminded about our need for God is important to us. And that's what Sunday morning is. We bring our little kids because we think they need to know that. Even as a little child, we think they need to know it's important to remember that we need God. And it's important to praise God with our very act of getting out of our bed and coming here to worship together. So as David reminded Israel of that, he's going to remind us of that. And so I'm going to read Psalm 103 in its entirety, and then we'll look at exactly what David's telling us. If you want to follow along, you can. If you want to close your eyes, you can. If you want to just listen and stare straight ahead, you can. Whichever you'd like to do. Verse 1, Psalm 103, David writes, "Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made his ways known to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows all over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. David is reminding us as God's gathered people. That's what was going on here. Just like you and I are together like this today, they didn't have any ability to do anything virtually, so they all had to gather. And just as they were gathered and we're gathered, David is reminding us of a couple of things. One, every Sunday is about this. Every Sunday, our focus should be praise to God. Our hope is, when we do sing, that those songs help you do that. Because the reason we're getting together is to praise God for all that he has done. That's what David is saying in verse 1 and 2 when he says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." He's talking about individually himself. And he's reminding all of us that that's what we're supposed to do. This idea of praise, some translations say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Maybe you've heard that. Is about expressing our gratitude to God. We do that all the time when we raise our children. We make sure they say please and thank you. We want people to know our child is thankful. They're grateful. They're expressing gratitude for what they've been given. And we, as God's children, are supposed to do the same thing. So our gathering on a Sunday morning is all about this. This is one of the reasons why we gather, to express our gratitude to God for all that he has done. That's what David is basically saying when he says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." He is saying, I want to be able to call to mind all the ways that God has blessed me, all the ways that God has shown me kindness. It's easy not to do this. Maybe you've been going 100 miles an hour. I feel like I have been for a while. And if I don't call to mind, if I don't just wake up in the morning and say, "Good morning, God. Thank you." I could go all day without doing that. And I'm the pastor. This is my job. But David is reminding us that we need to, as God's people, call to mind all the ways that God has shown us his kindnesses. And that's what we're doing this morning. You physically getting up, your presence here, you had to call to mind, oh yeah, I got to get up this morning because we can actually meet in the building. And you woke up, you got up, and you came here. And the point of us coming here is to express our thankfulness to God for all that he has done. I am thankful that God got us through these last 3.5 months. If you're sitting here, God has helped get you through that. I am thankful. Ted Rathman is thankful for God getting it. It wasn't easy, but we're here. We've made it. Even to the very moment of me walking to the back and, what the heck's going on? I got to figure this out. We got here. I'm thankful to God that he saw us through getting us to this moment. And your coming here is an act, an expression of that gratefulness. And hopefully you can call some of those things to mind. Maybe before you put your head down on that pillow, you take an opportunity to call to mind the things that God has done in your life, the way that God has shown you kindness. Yes, in the midst of a global pandemic, I think David is telling us, I think he was telling Israel, I think he's telling us, there is still reason to praise God. And he's going to give us some of those reasons of why we can praise God. He lists them for us. We need to express our gratitude to God because he is a God who forgives all our sins. And he heals all our diseases. He redeems our life from the pit. That is, they're referencing death there. You know, some people have had COVID-19 and they have recovered. Some of you may have been sick and you've recovered. There's some things that maybe have happened in your life and you're on the other side of that. And the psalmist is saying that God is the one who redeems us in this life. And he crowns us with love and compassion. That word crowns is really surrounds us with his love and compassion. Now, the psalmist, David, is using language there that signifies relationship. This idea of love and compassion. The way that you can experience affection in a relationship, maybe you haven't experienced that because we've been separated. We've been isolated. And we've missed that. You know, I heard a story about a very successful person who ended up committing suicide because the note said, because of this isolation. They just couldn't take not being connected to people. God surrounds us with this idea of relationship. It's not just some kind of box that we check, but God is real and he is present in your life. And my sermon series on the Holy Spirit was trying to communicate that and remind us of that. Because the psalmist is telling us we can express gratitude to God because he surrounds us with love and compassion and he satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Basically, what the psalmist is trying to get at in that section of this idea of renewal, of refreshing, of God satisfying, I'm going to have to go back many moons ago. I did a sermon series on Jeremiah. And that sermon series used the example of a cistern. In the desert, you didn't have a lot of water, so you had to catch that water somewhere, and they caught that water in a cistern so that you could live. Obviously, water is an important part of living. And so Jeremiah basically told Israel, you are going to look for life in broken cisterns. The place that you find life, and he used the example of, is a spring of living water. And I referenced, you know, Jesus says that he is that spring of living water. And he's talking about this very image. And this idea that the psalmist is trying to give us here is that God is able to renew us, and not just renew us, but this idea of satisfying is actually the language, the Hebrew word there is to satiate. It is to soak you so much that you just start overflowing with whatever God filled you with. That's what the spring is. The spring just keeps running and running and running and running and running. It never stops. That's the idea that's being given here. There's some of you maybe, and probably a lot of people in our life that have felt pretty empty. We have felt like our tank has been on empty. I've felt like my tank has been on empty. Fortunately, I know where to go for the source of living water. And what David is telling me is that God doesn't just pour a little bit in. He's not just filling your tank, you know, a quarter full. That can get you a little bit further. Maybe half, you know, get a little further than that. Maybe three quarters. Not only is he filling it, but he is pouring so much in that it overflows. And the good thing about that overflowing is there's a lot of people in our lives. Maybe you felt this way, that you were pretty empty. And being isolated means there's not places we can go to get that fill again. And maybe what we've discovered, and I think some of what we're discovering now in our cultural moment, is that people are going to a lot of broken cisterns, and they're looking for life, and they're finding sand, just a dried up reservoir where water used to be sitting, but there's nothing there. And that broken cistern can be, you can name it, whatever it is. Maybe it's a relationship that you had put a lot of emphasis in, that you were hoping to get filled out of, that you've just physically not been able to meet. And right now, in our current cultural moment, it seems like there's a lot of people, I talked about this last Sunday with true friendship, there's a lot of people that they don't even have the friends they used to have because of everything that's taking place. And so where you used to get filled in this relationship, you're just empty again. Maybe it was your job and you couldn't even go to work. You had to stay at home. Maybe it wasn't as fulfilling as it used to be, and maybe you even lost that job, or it's changed a lot. There's a lot of stuff out there that we think, culture tells us, is going to be able to fill us. And David reminds God's gathered people, that's us, that there's only one place where you can be refreshed and renewed, where you can find life. And that life doesn't just come at a quarter of a tank. It flows so much that it overflows to people around us. To me, that is what God is trying to do. If there's somebody in your life that you know is empty, they are running on fumes, the overflow that comes into your life from knowing God is supposed to be able to help pour out onto that person. There are a lot of people out there that are wondering what this life is all about. They've lost hope. They've lost a sense in meaning. And they're going to broken cisterns to be filled. And David says to the church, there's one place where you can find that, and that's with God. And if you look around and you see the people sitting in this room with you, yeah, it's hard to do that virtually. You can't do that at home. This is what we believe. If you are sitting here today, I hope you believe this, that you let God do this in your life. Because there's only one place we can find it. And David reminds us, this is why we get together to praise God. And I'm glad, and it's been a long 3 months, that at least once a week, we could get filled again. That's a benefit to me. That's a benefit. That's a blessing God gives us. He gives us this blessing of filling us with His Spirit again, because it's a difficult world out there sometimes. But David says, it's not just like you get a half full. God flows this out of you. He pours it in so it can overflow out of you to the people all around you who are broken and who are empty. There's tons of reasons why it's important for us to gather together as a church. One of the reasons why I think it's important that we do this, our physical gathering is important so that we can get together as God's people and praise Him. Now, David starts with, "Oh, my soul, praise the Lord." He's talking individually. We are a group of individuals, when gathered together, create this body of Christ. And now David is going to start talking in a more community-like fashion. He's talking about all of us, not just him, but all of us. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. And he's bringing the imagery of the book of Exodus. When God saves Israel, redeems Israel, rescues Israel from slavery in Egypt, and he brings them out. God's righteousness, God acted in history with his righteousness, and he saved a group of people. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. He made this covenant with Moses, and he promised himself to them. Verse 8, an important verse in all of Scripture. It's all over the Old Testament. It's out of the book of Exodus as well. An important reminder of God's character. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Now that word love, abounding in love, that Hebrew word is chesed. That means love in action. This is the word that describes Jesus coming. For God so loved the world that he sent that word love, and that is using the Hebrew word chesed. It was God's action. He doesn't just say, oh, I love you. He puts that statement into action and sends Jesus. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Here's another reason why, another important reason why it's important that we physically gather together. Because this doesn't happen when we're necessarily, or you know, people don't necessarily recognize it in this way. When we're at a family reunion, or maybe we're hanging out with our group of friends, or maybe I belong to some kind of club and I go there, or I'm a part of a sports team, or you know, there's some kind of public event that I attend, a graduation, whatever. In all these places where groups of people are happening, there's one place where this takes place, where this happens. When we get together like this, like we are now, you and I are recognizing we are a group of sinners in need of God's grace. That's what we recognize. Every Sunday that you and I sit together, kind of socially distanced right now, but sit together typically, and we can look at each other and look into each other's faces, and we see each other and we talk together, you and I recognize in this physical gathering, we are a bunch of broken people in desperate need of God. That is what David just told us. That is what he told all of Israel, and that is what he's telling us. That God throughout history has acted decisively in the lives of his people. He did it through the Exodus, when he saved Israel from their sin, from their slavery, I should say, and he did it for us when he saved us from our sin. Now, obviously, David isn't talking about Jesus in this moment. He's not referencing Jesus here. He's talking about Israel's history. David was talking to Israel in his day, in his way, and helping them to think of things that would remind them of God's decisive acts of faithfulness and how he rescued his people. He saved them. That's where we're getting this word, salvation, redemption. We, on this side of the cross, having Jesus paid our debt, we recognize that God has saved us from this slavery we called sin. And if you don't think sin is real, just look outside and turn on the television. It's all over the place. And maybe we thought we had, you know, mitigated it as much as we could, and I'm basically a good person. And all these good people are doing a lot of horrible things to other human beings. God's decisive acts in history show his faithfulness to save his people. And he promised to do it, and he did it through his son Jesus. And we come together as broken people, as sinners in need of God's grace. And every Sunday we get up and we physically gather together, we as a group of people recognize this. It doesn't happen anywhere else in our world that a group of people gather together to recognize their desperate need of grace, that they are broken, they cannot save themselves, and without God, we would be lost. The gathered church communicates that to the entire world every time we get together. God has acted in history in a decisive way, and he has shown his faithfulness to his people, and we ought to praise him for it. That is what David is saying to Israel, and that's what I think David is saying to us. Because we don't have to wonder if God's going to like us one day and not like us the next day. That is what this idea of the Lord works righteousness and justice for those who are broken. That's why we're getting the language that he is slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. He doesn't harbor anger forever. In fact, he is willing to remove all of your rebellion, all of your sin, all of your unfaithfulness as far as the east is from the west. And David was just simply trying to use in his day the two furthest points. East is all the way over here, west is all the way over here, or vice versa, depending on how you're looking at me. And we know that there actually is no end to east or west. Because when I was in the Navy, that ship went the whole way around. It didn't fall off the edge of the ocean into some black abyss. It actually goes the world's round. I'm going to remind you of that. The world is round. So God infinitely moves this away from us. And he does that because he doesn't sway one way to the next with regard to justice and righteousness. He isn't like a mob who decides what is just and right according to what they feel is just and right that day. And that's kind of where we're at right now. Justice and righteousness is based upon whoever can be the loudest and the angriest, whoever can get the most airtime. And I am so glad that God does not hold our sins against us. And I don't know why my clicker's not working. Instead, what God shows us is this. You know, you and I live in a broken world. And our world was broke before you and I got here. And it's been broke for a long time. There is no place on this earth that you can go and meet a person not in need of God's redemption. We are a broken and sinful people. And it's right to be angry at the sin that takes place. And it seems to me today what you and I are experiencing in our current cultural moment is we can be angry at the sins of the past. The only caveat is there is no redemption. There is no forgiveness. There is no ability to be redeemed for those sins. That is what our current cultural moment is telling us. We're highlighting the reality that we have always lived in this broken world and that it doesn't matter what nation you put your foot on, whatever place on this earth that you step, whatever language you speak, whatever color you look like, you have lived in a broke and messed up world that needs to be redeemed. The only problem is, it seems we forgot this little piece. As Christians, we understand it. This is what we celebrate and praise. That instead of holding our sins against us, when we confess that to God, you come here this morning and you recognize, I am a broken, sinful person in need of God's grace. You know what God says? He doesn't say, tough. He doesn't say, oh yeah, but what about when you were 10 and you did this? Or what about when you were 15? Or what about this? Or what about that? Apparently, what the psalmist is praising God for and what he's telling us to praise God for is the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse. He doesn't stand in front of you pointing his finger at you. Nor will he harbor his anger forever. God rightfully has plenty of reasons to be angry with us. I mean, it's Israel's story. Israel's story is our story. That's what the Bible is, why the Bible is relevant in the 21st century. Because Israel's story is really the story that God is writing about our current predicament in life. So God rescues these people. They were enslaved 400 years. And they cry out to God, and God rescues them, and he starts making all these crazy promises to them. And they make this covenant. And not only did they not have to provide for themselves, God provided it all. And so Moses leaves, and he goes, and he's going to hang out with God for a while, and they're going to talk for a bit. And he's gone, and everybody's like, well, now what do we do? Moses left. Here's a good idea. Why don't you guys give me all the gold that you have? I'll melt it down, and I'll form this image. It looks like a cow, and we'll worship that. Doesn't sound like a good idea, everybody? Of course, Moses comes back. There's a big brouhaha, and of course, things change. And so what did God do? Did God say, oh, my word, I just saved you from this. I'm through with you. David says, even when we are unfaithful to God, even when we rebel against God, he does not harbor his anger forever. He does not stand there and accuse. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Right now, in our current cultural moment, those people, you know, that lived way back when, apparently they were all sinners beyond redemption. That's what's basically being told to us today. David says, thank you, God, for not treating us the way our sin deserves. When we gather together as a group of sinners in need of God's grace, we recognize how much God has forgiven us. We recognize how gracious and kind and loving this God must be, because it wasn't too long ago that I was pretty unfaithful to God. It wasn't too long ago that I pretty much rebelled against God. It wasn't too long ago that I really showed how good of a sinner I am in the way I treated people, in the way that I acted, in the things I should have done that I left undone. There's a lot of stuff God could hold against us. You know what? He doesn't. Not only does he not hold it against us, David says, as high as the heaven is from the earth, as far as the east is from the west, basically infinite distance, God doesn't hold it against us. That's a pretty amazing thing that God has just done. Because I won't speak for you, but I've been a pretty good sinner in my life. But there was something about the gathered church that I felt like I needed to be a part of. And part of that reason, I think, is this truth. Even when I was in the Navy. Now, when I was in high school, I was forced to go to church. And we're kind of reverting back to the old days, all these wonderful, you guys are doing a great job, these little kids sitting in here. Back in the old days, maybe when you were growing up, we had to sit in church the entire time. We couldn't do anything. We didn't have junior church. We didn't have Awana. We just had to sit here the entire time, and they're doing an excellent job. So from little on up, I did that. Even when I was in high school, my parents made me go to church, and so I went. And when I was in the Navy, I didn't really care about church. I didn't really care about following Jesus. And even though I didn't care about all that stuff, you know what I did on a Sunday morning? I went to church. There was something about being with these people that said something to me. Because I knew I was a sinner, and in my brain, a place that I could receive grace was in that church. Now, we know the church is not a building, but the people that went inside that building, they were a group of sinners in need of grace. Seems like that's the one thing we're not willing to afford, apparently, everybody that lived before yesterday. Grace to know that we live in a broken and messed up world. And we've done a lot of messed up things to fellow human beings. And David brings it to a cosmic level. You know what? You've done a lot of messed up things. We, Israel, have done a lot of messed up things. Us, church, have done a lot of messed up things. of anybody we know, we need forgiveness. And we're willing to extend that forgiveness to others. I'm even willing, Jesus says, to extend that forgiveness to somebody who wronged me. Somebody who burned my business down. I now no longer have a livelihood. I've done nothing wrong. The 8 employees that I had, I mean, this is, I'm just giving an example of the stuff that has happened all over our country. They're all out of a job. Can that person extend forgiveness to those people that did that? David said God did it to us. Jesus says God did it for us. And I'm going to even give my life for you and extend that forgiveness to you. Are you willing to do it to someone else? Our cultural moment needs this truth, maybe more than any other, that we are all sinners from today all the way back through history in need of grace. Praise God that God does not repay according to our sins and iniquities. But as a father has compassion on his children, the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we're just dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. God has just reminded us through David's poem here of a truth that maybe is more real than we've ever felt it before. And we've felt it as human beings, not just as Americans. We've felt this as human beings. We live in a fragile world, and we are fragile people. Our entire world was turned upside down. It only took 3 months to change our lives. You know how long it took to get to, we're going to use March 12th as the date, because that's when it all changed for me. You know how long it took to build a civilization to experience what you and I experienced? In 3 months, it was turned upside down. All over this planet, all over this globe. We were reminded in a very real way of what David is reminding us as the church. Man, it is important to praise God for who he is, to thank God that he doesn't hold our sins against us, because the reality is things can change in a moment. That's how fast it happens. One moment and our lives are different. David reminds the gathered people of God how frail we really are and how thankful that though we are made of dust, God is from everlasting to everlasting. Well, that was weird. Vince, what are you messing with me back there? Of all the days to do that, we just get back. The one thing that we see in this psalm, we're like the flower that is here for a moment. The imagery is in the desert. You get a nice rain in the desert, and that hill looks green and lush. It's beautiful. You get one dry wind for that next day or two, and it's all gone. That's how quick it happens. This is the image that David is bringing up here. But there's one thing, there's one person, there's one truth that never changes, as frail and as fragile now as quickly as it all changes in life. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. Now, this is an important idea. This is all throughout Scripture. Theologians have written thousands upon thousands of books about this. The idea of God's sovereignty and human will, free will, man's responsibility and God's all-powerful nature. How do those two things fit together? Should we come and praise God? Because as we do that, God shows us all these wonderful things. Or because God has shown us all these wonderful things, we ought to come into a church and praise him. My answer to that dilemma is yes, you should do both. The answer is yes to that. If we say we appreciate, love, and do all this about God, and we can say all these wonderful things, then our lives ought to reflect that. And we should do all those things because we believe God has indeed shown us love, this kindness, this slowness to anger. He's not holding things against us. He's not repaying us for what we deserve. We're getting this grace. So David says, those who fear God are going to experience this in their life. But it's not something that we can earn. So how do those two things work together? Well, I have no clue. There's tons of theologians that write lots of books that they all think they have a clue, but when we come to the end of it, we still are at the same place. I'm not sure. All I know is this is how God operates. And because God operates this way, I'm going to call to mind. I don't have to call to mind. I don't have to do any of this. You didn't have to show up today. You don't have to tune in at 10:30 if you don't want to. But we're choosing to do that because we fear Him. Now that fear, the fear of the Lord, is not the kind of fear of maybe some of us have actually experienced in a very real way. We were afraid to go outside. Maybe we've been afraid to go in public. We were afraid to go. We had a real sense of fear because we knew so little about this virus that is affecting our lives, that has turned our lives upside down. There was real fear there. That's not the fear that he's talking about here. The fear of the Lord is to live in submission and obedience to him. Well, how do we do that? Here's how I'm going to define it. We do what God says. That's what the fear of the Lord is. Jesus said the two commandments, if you forget everything else I said, remember these two things. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's straight out of Deuteronomy. And to love your neighbor as yourself. That's straight out of Leviticus. When he was asked, okay, well, which is the best law? Which is the most important law? We got tons of them. Jesus said, these two things sum it all up. Because your life is going to look a particular way. If you say, if you confess, I love God with all of my heart, mind, with all that I am, I'm going to show God I love him. And the best way to do that is to love my neighbor as myself. I mean, that's what Jesus said. Okay, so if we can think of one guy that did those two things, loved God with all that they are, and loved their neighbor as themselves, I think it's safe to say, well, Jesus did that. Okay, so what did Jesus do? How did Jesus live? We read all about that in the book of John. The fear of the Lord is doing that. You see how Jesus lived? You see what Jesus did? You see how Jesus interacted with people? Then do that, and that will be the fear of the Lord. And David says, God looks as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord is going to have compassion on those who do exactly what Jesus did. And now we're not going to do that perfectly. Remember all that? We live in a broken world. We're broken people. And apparently, God doesn't hold those things against us. Even in my sinfulness, even in my rebellion, even in my unfaithfulness, God is faithful to me. The fear of the Lord is being mindful and attentive to what God has asked us to do, the way God has asked us to live, a willingness to show forgiveness to those who have wronged us, a willingness to not hold against others things we could hold against them, a willingness to be slow to anger, to not harbor anger. All those things about God, we're supposed to live that out as well as God's people. And the psalmist ends to remind us of this very important truth that maybe we forgot. COVID-19 has reminded us of that God is the one who rules over all. God is the one who created this world and is in the process of redeeming it. And yes, the world itself is in need of redemption. The book of Revelation, this revelation that John has, this picture that he is telling us, God creates a new heaven and a new earth. He redeems what is here and he renews it. He refreshes it because it needs redemption. And boy, do people, human beings, need that as well. God reminds us, David reminds Israel, David reminds us, that God rules over all this world. This all belongs to him. It is his, and one day he will rightfully lay claim to all that is his when Jesus returns. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. There is nothing that does not belong to God. So David says, praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly host, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. There is plenty of reason to praise God. I am praising God that in the midst of these storms that we are facing, he continues to show his goodness, his faithfulness, his kindness. That as a group of sinners in need of grace, we gather together and recognize that collectively, that we can praise God for all the things that David just said. And it is important for us to do that. And every Sunday, when you come back next Sunday, Lord willing, if Jesus isn't back by then, we'll do the same thing. We'll gather together as a group of sinners in need of God's grace, and we'll praise him for all that he has done. And we can walk out of here knowing that God is the one who rules over all, and by his Spirit, he can refresh us, revive us, and he pours into us so much so that there's not enough for us to hold it all. It's going to just overflow. And if somebody needs that message in your life, I beg you to help them. Help them find living water. Help them to be refreshed and refilled. If you need that, please spend some time with God and let him refresh and refill and pour into your life. There could be some more storms ahead of us, but that's okay. Because we have this God who is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love, walking with us. Let's pray. Lord God, we are thankful for this truth of Scripture. God, I'm thankful for the opportunity to just remind myself of some of these important truths, that trying to get all this put back together, maybe I didn't call to mind the way that I should. And I'm thankful that this morning I was able to do that with some friends. And God, I pray that if there's someone in here, maybe somebody watching at home that needs to be refilled, their tank is pretty dry, Lord, I pray that they might experience a filling from you that overflows in abundance. God, you've reminded us that we are in desperate need of you. And God, together as a group of sinners who have gathered in this place in need of your grace to praise and to honor you, God, I pray that you would indeed bless the people here, bless those listening at home with your goodness, with your kindness. Lord God, that they might experience your filling as we navigate these storms of life. May we always come back to Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.